This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes.
Ku Klux Klan values, David Duke values, Donald Trump values are not American values.
Hillary Clinton's VP pick, Tim Kaine, swings through Florida's capital city.
It's failed the Hispanic community. It's failed the Black community. It's failed the Haitian community. It's failed a lot. So give us a shot and let us show what we can do with actual real opportunity, not the illusion of opportunity.
Republican Party of Florida Chairman Blaise Angolia explains why he thinks his party is the party of opportunity for all.
Our party has become unrecognizable. It talks Democratic talk, but it walks Republican walk. It has become idolatry worship of money.
And Democratic U.S. Senate candidate Pam Keith gets poetic in her all-out fight to bring change in the business of politics. All that and more coming up on episode 74 of The Rotunda. Welcome to the program. This is a busy week. It's election week.
Why do you have to lose? You're living in poverty. Your schools are no good. You have no job.
Race relations continues to be a contentious topic in this presidential race. Did I just rhyme? I hope I did. Race relations, presidential race. But seriously, Hillary Clinton's VP pick made a recent campaign stop at Tallahassee's historically Black university, Florida A&M.
HBCUs have a role that's every bit as important today and tomorrow as it was when universities like FAMU were founded.
But here's the part where he calls out Donald Trump for his associations.
Ku Klux Klan values, David Duke values, Donald Trump values are not American values. They're not our values, and we've got to do all we can to fight, to push back.
Hillary Clinton herself has been pushing the race-based attacks against Donald Trump. Or shall we say she's taken steps to highlight some of the things Donald Trump has said.
A man with a long history of racial discrimination who traffics in dark conspiracy theories drawn from the pages of supermarket tabloids and these kind of white supremacist, white nationalist, anti-Semitic groups should never run our government or command our military.
And so it continues, racial politics in full display back in the mainstream. RNC Chairman Reince Priebus issued a statement calling Kaine's remarks deplorable. Of course, there's so much going on in politics. This is the week of Florida's primary election. This episode's dropped a day before Election Day, and so many other things will be dropped, including candidates who aren't able to capture enough votes to carry them through to the next leg of the race toward the general election. This is actually a very tough time because it's a point when you can actually see some candidates finally hit their stride, gain momentum, but sometimes the break just comes a little too late.
What I have learned is that the game of politics has become more corrupted even than I thought it was.
I'll chat with one such candidate in the first half of this program, and later stay tuned for my discussion with Republican Party of Florida Chairman Blaise Angolio, who's finally back on the program.
Well, a lot of our attention obviously is at the top of the ticket with Mr. Trump, but we are focused a lot on the down ballot races.
War. And I might just be killed before this is laid down. I don't got time to wait now. The pen mightier than the sword.
It's black on black rhyme night at Nefertari's Fine Cuisine in Tallahassee, a place that brings together a diverse group of musicians, poets, and other artists to enjoy the power of words. But on this night, Keith Rogers, the founder of Black on Black Rhyme, is doing something a little different. Opening up the stage to candidates running for office.
We do not clap, we do not snap, we shake. If you have keys, please put your keys out. This is violent, you hang yourself. We don't do violence here. It's black on black rhyme, not black on black crime, all right? So on the count of three, everybody shake their keys. One, two, three. That's how it sounds when somebody rocking the mic. That's what, if you hear something somebody say on the mic, like rewind, they might back it up and say it again. But now we're going to do, this whole month we've been bringing in candidates from different races, not human races, or that we talk about like political races. So y'all can get candid with them. You see their name, you see them on TV, you hear the radio ad, you see the flyer, you see the palm card, but you don't see them. And sometimes you see them, it's a line, so you don't get to talk to them. Or people can come up here and slap them if you want to, they might hit you back. I'm just saying, ain't no security, all right? I'm just playing. But
you have Sean Desmond, who's running for state attorney to replace Willie Meggs.
That's a seat coming open. It's been occupied by one person for 32 years.
I own my land. I own my cars. I earned
LJ Holloway is running for Congress in District 5, hoping to unseat Corrine Brown.
I'm running for office because I worked on Capitol Hill for a member on the Appropriations Committee. And I know
former State Representative Curtis Richardson is running for city commission in Tallahassee.
I see a lot of young faces here. We're trying to make Tallahassee an attractive place for young people.
To provide equal access to our justice system.
Gwen Marshall is running for Leon County Clerk of Court, and there were others.
I am the first African-American woman ever to run for U.S. Senate in the state of Florida. And I am running to finally kick Marco Rubio to the curb.
I'm here, sitting in the audience, in an opulent dining hall fit for royalty. Queen Nefertari, I presume. It is U.S. Senate candidate Pam Keith, a Democrat fighting to win her party's nomination against U.S. Representatives Patrick Murphy and Alan Grayson, that pulled me in to this rhyme session, thanks to the waves she's made in her fledgling campaign, which has just been given a boost in the final days into Florida's primary thanks to a late endorsement by the Miami Herald.
You're asking me, can I change that system where the wagons circle around each other when they get there? Where the game is to make sure that once they're in the club, they make sure nobody else can join. My party, the Democratic Party, used to be a party well recognized for valuing the poor, the disenfranchised. Anything and everything that we ever did of value, we did with poor people. And somehow, recently, our party has become unrecognizable. It talks Democratic talk, but it walks Republican walk. It has become idolatry worship of money. I hate to break it to you, but money is not a qualification, and God knows one's father's money is not a qualification.
It takes money to make money. The Tampa Bay Times compiled information from the Florida Division of Elections detailing candidates for the Florida legislature spending more than $9 million of their own money on their political campaigns. As you may recall, Governor Rick Scott spent $73 million of his own money to become governor. Why are these rich individuals choosing to run for public office? And what does it mean? What impact will it have if this trend continues? This is what Keith had to say.
But what we are doing now is creating a system that says only the rich need apply. Because you won't get any attention if you're not already rich. And you can't raise money if you are not already rich. You've got to have money to make money. But what does that do for representation of this community?
Keith is a 47-year-old labor attorney and Navy veteran, captivating members of the audience with all that she has to say. You start to forget that it's sounding less of a stump speech and more like slam poetry.
We have had too many candidates and politicians that have gotten into power and are just so happy to be there that the only thing they do is service their ability to stay there.
Rewind.
And unfortunately, I said, there are too many politicians who get into power and spend all of their effort ensuring that they stay there. You gotta listen, girlfriend.
This is an unusual stop for Keith. It's not a large venue in these precious moments, just a week out from Election Day. But as you'll hear, she's in it to win it, touring around the state, stopping anywhere that will hear her message. A Mason-Dixon poll shows her opponent, Patrick Murphy, will easily win the Democratic nomination alongside Republican Marco Rubio.
The bottom line is, if we send only millionaires to Washington, we should not be surprised if the policies favor millionaires. So what I am is what I do. I'm a woman who did not have a lot of money, had no endorsements, had no clear path to success, had a party that blocked me at every conceivable time, and then what did I do? I put one little foot in front of another little foot, in front of another little foot, 24 months ago, and today I stand as the candidate endorsed by the Miami Herald because I am the best candidate in this race. So it's not my talk that matters, it's my walk that matters.
Following her poetic performance on stage, here's my interview with Pam Keith.
I am not running against two extremely well-known or extremely well-liked candidates. So it's not like it was in Maryland with Donna running against Chris Van Hollen. That's a different dynamic. Alan Grayson's going to have his votes. Patrick Murphy's going to have his votes, but they divide their votes. So there's an alley for me. It's just a question of, can I work it with what I got? Because I don't have resources at the wazoo. My father's not going to write me a $1 million check. So I got to work with what I got. But I serve a mighty God. I believe in miracles. And I don't give up. Okay. Amazing things can happen.
So what have you learned throughout this campaign since embarking on this journey?
Oh, God. Do you have all day? I think the most important thing I learned is that I am tougher, more resilient even than I thought I was. What I've learned is that I love advocating for people even more than I thought I did. What I have learned is that the game of politics has become more corrupted even than I thought it was. I'm not by nature naive, but you have to be a little naive if you've never been in this game. Mm-hmm. It's not naive, but there are a lot of things you're just not going to know until you get in it. And so I'm glad I didn't know certain things before I got in it, because if I had known them, I may not have. Mm-hmm. But I am not a coward, and I don't quit. And I think there's something to be said for being relentless.
What do you say about the Democratic Party, and how will you go forward after this, knowing what you know now about how they've treated you, according to your statements?
I think we got to be clear. The Democratic Party is more than one thing. There's the leadership of the party, right? There's the members of the party. There's the activists within the party. And there are different things. I have spent 24 months meeting some of the most incredible, dedicated, hardworking, true believers. I love them. I love them. I love them. Little old octogenarian Jewish ladies that will work their tails off for every kind of candidate. Little old men that'll go door to door in the Florida heat. Young, enthusiastic, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed young Dems that are so enthusiastic and so fearless and non-judgmental. I mean, I love Democrats. This process has taught me to love Democrats more than I even thought I did. But it's taught me to dislike the Democratic leadership even more than I thought I would. Because the games that have been played by the DSCC, the DCCC, the DNC, these games where they anoint and coronate candidates based on their funding and nothing else, the inside games that they play to block candidates, to keep them from getting any oxygen, any media attention. They're saying, well, you're the candidate, you get media attention. I was like, yeah, but the media won't write about a candidate who doesn't have money. Right? So there's an incestuousness of all of that. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You can't raise money if nobody's heard of you, and nobody will have heard of you unless you already have money. So that's how they block out everyday Joes and everyday James. That's how they don't even get to play.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's morally, fundamentally wrong. So I'm taking that up with my media folks that I'm finally beginning to know. And I'm taking that up with my party, and I'm taking that up with voters. And we need to do something to make sure that we do not foreclose the ability of normal people to run for office. We cannot foreclose that, because if we foreclose that, we give up the very best thing about our democracy. And not everybody's going to be hardwired as relentless and doggedly as I am, right? But we have so many smart, decent, capable people who say, I don't even want to try because I don't want to be put through the meat grinder.
What are you going to be doing on August 30th? And what's it going to be like the day after?
Well, I'm going to be spending the daylight hours glad handing at the polling places. I'm going to cast my ballot. And then when those polling places shut down, so do I. I'm going to turn the phone off. I'm going to turn the television off. I'm going to get myself a nice little drink, crawl under my mat, onto my sheets, and finally get some sleep. And when I wake up, it's going to be whatever it is. I'm going to probably call all of the opponents in the race and, you know, give them my good wishes before I shut everything down. And then I just shut it all down.
And then what's next?
I don't know.
You don't know? What?
God will let me know. I mean, a lot of things could be next. Who knows what happens the 31st? Well, I could very easily be the nominee, and then that's a whole other...
Then you're gone again.
Then it's a whole other scenario. I know there'll be some people in Washington, D.C. going, oh, snap!
Yeah.
What do we do?
Yeah.
Because we have a nominee in Florida that has no money! And they're going to wonder what they can do. But the good news for them is that if when I win, they will notice that they also have a tremendously strong candidate, an inspiring candidate, one who really reflects democratic values, one that can speak Spanish and French and Portuguese and connect to all these different kinds of people. I'm going to make this party look so good, they're going to be falling on their knees thanking the baby Jesus that I am their nominee. Because if it ain't me, it's going to be somebody else that's going to have a much tougher time putting a positive spin on this race for the rest of until November.
All right. Well, Pam Keith, thanks for taking this time to speak with me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for coming out. I so enjoyed talking. I'm here.
All right, that was U.S. Senate candidate Pam Keith, which that title will surely change by next episode. We will learn all who's in and who's out following Florida's primary. This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes. This program is about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. Visit rotundapodcast.com and check us out on social media at Rotunda Podcast. You know, it often rings true that if they are talking about you, you must be doing something right. And in Pam Keith's case, Republicans do not see her as a threat.
Yeah, I don't know much about Pam Keith. You know, we're concentrating on who we believe is going to be the nominee. So we're focused on Patrick Murphy in this race.
That was Blaise Angoulo. He is the chairman of the Republican Party of Florida. He's here to discuss some of the hot button issues facing his party this election cycle.
Well, a lot of our attention obviously is at the top of the ticket with Mr. Trump. But we are focused a lot on the down ballot races, most notably Marco Rubio. We want to make sure that he keeps his Senate seat. We know he has a primary, but you know, polling shows him up substantially. So we're gearing up to defeat Patrick Murphy, who we think is going to be the Democrat nominee. But we're also concentrating on making sure that we return as much as our congressional delegation as possible, our state Senate and our state House. Now, look, this is a presidential year, so we understand that it's going to be tough. Traditionally, it's going to be tough to keep a lot of these seats, but that doesn't mean that we're not fighting to keep each and every seat and looking to expand. So we have a grassroots army out there. They're walking, they're knocking on doors, and they're getting ready for the general election.
Looking to the top of the ticket now, how are things with Donald Trump and where, especially with where you stand in making sure the party is unified, which I know that's an effort from what I'm seeing with regards to the party and those who are the Never Trump camp still fighting forward?
Yeah, look, the party is unified. Of course, there are some people out there who are still happy with the nominee. But look, that traditionally happens during every election cycle. You have people on the Democrat side who are unhappy with Hillary Clinton, most notably a lot of the Bernie Sanders supporters. If you remember in times past, there were a lot of people who were not unhappy with Mitt Romney. But at the end of the day, we have to complete our task at hand, and that is delivering the White House to the Republican nominee, and that's Mr. Trump. We're working hard. Polling shows that this race is tightening. We had seen some post-convention bumps for both of these candidates. And now everything is coming off of the sugar high, if you will, and we're getting back down to it. And here in Florida, the race is very tight. Most polls have it within the margin of error. And I believe that's a testament of how hard we've been working here in the state of Florida. We are closer here in this state than most of the other swing states.
I had Bettina Inclon, I don't know if you know her. She's a Latina Republican communications and political strategist. She worked for Governor Rick Scott at one point, and she issued some reservations to Donald Trump because of his rhetoric and, of course, the things he's been saying. I see her as a prime example of a diehard Republican, once in charge of Latino outreach for the Republican Party, and she's having reservations because she finds what he says to be divisive. How do you unify this where you have a supporter, but they're holding out to wait for him to improve? What do you deal with? I see that as difficult for you.
Well, look, the first thing I would say is that every Republican from the top of the ticket, Mr. Trump, all the way down to people in running for city councils, for mayors, and local races, the Republican Party is about opportunity. We don't say that the opportunity is only for this segment of the population. We say that it's for everyone. One of the things that we are fighting for, and one of the things that we try to get across to the Hispanic community, is that, look, there are reasons why you, A, come to the United States, or B, you come to the state of Florida. You come to the United States for more freedom and more opportunity. You come to Florida because of freedom, opportunity, and better prospects of having a better life for you, your family, and your small business. Now, when it comes to the Hispanic community, and I've spoken to a lot of Hispanics in length about the reasons why they come to the United States, why they come to the state of Florida. And what we hear as a common theme is that the United States is much better than where they came from. They came here because there's more opportunity. They came to the state of Florida because there's a better chance of them opening up that small business, having a better education for their child. And the tragedy is that many Hispanic voters vote, in my opinion, for Democrat policies, which are then trying to turn this nation into the nation which most closely resembles the nation that they left and the reason why they left it. So our job is to continue getting that information out there and say that we're advocating for a better life. We do not want to turn this nation into something that most closely resembles the country that you came from. We are fighting for opportunity. Just give us a chance, because obviously the Democrat policies have failed them. It's failed the Hispanic community. It's failed the Black community. It's failed the Haitian community. It's failed a lot. So give us a shot and let us show what we can do with actual real opportunity, not the illusion of opportunity.
What's being done in Florida to expand the party to attract minorities, Hispanics, Blacks? What are you doing on the ground level here in Florida to bring more into the fold?
Well, I will tell you that I don't think anybody has done more as a chairman that I have in this administration, my administration at the Republican Party of Florida, to engage those communities. So let me give you a couple of examples. Since I became chairman in January of 2015, we have had staff, boots on the ground, engaging in these communities across the state. We have had staffers and volunteers on the ground in Miami, but the staffers and the volunteers of our Cuban descent, so they're matching up with their communities. When we're in the I-4 corridor, specifically in Orlando, our staff and our volunteers that go out of our Puerto Rican descent. When we are in Black communities, our staff and volunteers are Black, so we're matching up with that. That is one big difference. Another big difference is that The Republican Party, and for the first time in his existence, hired a bilingual communications director at the time. Now, that previously was Wadi Gitani. He has moved on to Liberty Initiative up in Washington, D.C. But still now, to this day, even with him gone, we have not stopped our commitment to getting our message out, not in English, but in Spanish. But you know what? It's the same message. It's just a different language. At the Republican Party of Florida, we have put on these engagement committees. We have formed these engagement committees. We now have meetings side by side with the Florida Assembly of Black Republicans. We have Hispanic engagement committees. But most importantly is that we are highlighting and we are recruiting party leaders to go out and get our message out. We have some great representatives across the state of Florida, you know, in the Orlando area. We have Representative Bob Cortez. We have Representative Renee Plasencia in Miami. We have Representative Avila. We have Carlos Corbello. These people are great people to get our message out. We have done more this election cycle to do what we need to do than ever before in the history of the Republican Party of Florida.
And are you not worried that that effort is being hampered by Donald Trump? Wadi, as you mentioned, he left in a rebuke, I would say, to what he was hearing from Mr. Trump. And I mentioned Bettina Inclán. She's not willing to leave. She wants to vote Republican, but she has reservations from what Donald Trump has been saying. So what does this do for you in maintaining that support within your party and those who are down ballot from the top?
Well, the first thing I would say is that during elections, campaign people and party people come and go. It's just the nature of the business. But what's important is that when the word comes down from the top, and that's the chairman, I have maintained my commitment to doing those things. So while staff may move in and out of the party structure, what's not going to move out of the structure is my commitment to making sure that we are engaging with those communities. But let me talk about turnout the vote efforts. Look, one of the things we have done poorly in the past is we have concentrated too much on the top of the ticket to drive the rest of the ticket. It's one of the reasons why we lost in 08. It is definitely the reason why we lost in 2012 in the state of Florida with Mitt Romney. Among other things, there were other things. There was a data gap. There was a marketing on online and social media gap. So there was that. But when you concentrate too much on the top of the ticket, you forsake the rest of the ticket. Under the Republican Party of Florida, now we are taking a whole ticket approach. The people at the top drive out the vote that will benefit the people at the bottom of the ticket. The bottom of the ticket will take their approach and drive the people at the top of the ticket. And everyone's job is to get as many Republicans out to the polls as possible during the election. Why is this important? Because when we go and get people out to the polls, we do not ask them who they vote for. We just get as many Republicans out. And in areas of the state which there is a heavy Hispanic population, we have great people, great leaders, great elected officials who are pushing out that vote as well.
Back to the question on like getting more people to the party, minorities and others. What civil rights activism could you all jump on that would be attractive to that segment of the population? Which one would you turn to stand to say, hey, this is where you will find comfort and see us addressing those issues?
I can give you one policy right now that transcends everything and would really help communities, especially Black communities and some low-income Hispanic communities, and that is school or parental choice. That is something that the Republican Party and Republican elected officials should continue to push, that, you know, your education, your future should not be dependent upon the zip code that you live in. You should not be subjected to a poor education and a lifetime of not being able to live up to your God-given potential because you are zoned for a poor school. Education is the key, one of the keys to success in this nation. It's one of the keys to success in this life. We need to expand the opportunities for people, especially in neighborhoods where they have failing schools. That's something that everyone needs to rally around because that transcends color.
What about Black Lives Matter, as we're seeing Donald Trump makes his attempt to appeal to African Americans?
Look, I personally do not like putting people into boxes, even when it comes to color. We're all Americans. The message needs to be the same. Look, we understand that there is an issue out there where we are having some differences is how to deal with the issue and the potential solution. So, look, I get it. I totally get where Black Lives Matter comes from. But what I would say is that some of the solutions to some of the problems that have been plaguing Black communities for such a long time can be solved with some of the things that we've been advocating for, like school choice.
Tim Kaine is in town here in Tallahassee, and I saw you issued a press release, and a couple days ago you also issued one with regard to another Hillary Clinton controversy, saying that she should hold a press conference with regards to the Clinton Foundation. What are you trying to get across with regards to what you're seeing with the Clinton camp?
That, look, Hillary Clinton at some point is going to have to answer questions to the American people on behalf of the American people and answer questions about conflict of interest. Now, she can call in to CNN like she did the other day. She can call in to Morning Joe like she did this morning. And look, she's going to get a lot of softball questions and even if the questions aren't softball, she has softball answers for them. She has canned responses for them. What a press conference offers is rapid-fire questions where she would have to actually think on her toes and probably not be able to offer with canned responses. I think she owes it to the American people just to level with us. My concern with Hillary Clinton, okay, is that if you put yourself in the position. Look, I believe that elected officials should be above reproach. You should take away not the impropriety because it is unethical, immoral, and possibly illegal. You should take away the appearance of impropriety. Hillary Clinton didn't even take the appearance of impropriety away. And that is because she's used to being dealt with, in my opinion, kid gloves. She really hasn't been scrutinized and vetted at this level. And there are really good questions. She has been flippant in her answers for years now when it comes to Benghazi, when it comes to her email server, when it comes to even the DNC rigging the election in favor of her over Bernie Sanders, when it comes to the Hillary Clinton Foundation. What we're seeing here is a pattern of elitism that she thinks, unfortunately, that she is better than all of us and she does not have to be held to the same standard and accountable. I just think fundamentally that's wrong. She needs to answer these questions.
All right. Well, I know there's a whole lot of back and forth, and there can be on both sides of that. But back to Florida, I saw your tweets. You retweeted Richard Corcoran when he mentioned about the Netflix original series Bloodline. Is it a Netflix original series? I think it is.
It is.
Returning to South Florida without incentives. First off, are you a fan of the show? Do you watch it?
Never seen it.
You've never seen it. Oh, my.
No, I heard it's great. I heard it's awesome. I've been meaning to see it, but look, I'm in the middle of an election here. Hopefully after the election, I'll be able to get some downtime and binge watch.
Yeah. Hey, this election is too crazy. Yeah. How do you keep yourself going dealing with all of this?
Look, I thrive on being busy. I literally work. Not that many people know this, but I wake up at about 6:30, 7 in the morning, and I am working from 7 a.m. till about midnight every night nonstop because I'm committed. I'm committed to making this nation, this state, this party, and my district as a state representative the best that it can be.
All right, sir. Well, I hope to have you back on the program, and we'll continue this conversation. Blazing Golio, thank you so much for joining me here on the Rotunda.
Most welcome. Have a great day, sir.
You too.
In other news, I am looking forward to the whittling down of candidates, but honestly not so much looking forward to the remaining days of the presidential race. Can it be over already? That's it for this edition of the Rotunda Special. Thanks to U.S. Senate candidate Pam Keith and Republican Party of Florida Chairman Blazin Golio. Remember to visit rotundapodcast.com and join us again next week right here for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.